Welcome back to Bankrupt Overland.
Yeah,
we have we don't really have much planned for tonight, I'm not gonna lie to you, but we got Jeff back. What's up, Jeff?
We got him back.
Yo, I'm out of it, man. I'm out of the thick. I'm back. I'm so excited to be back in the rhythm of things. So what's up, everybody?
Oh, glad you're back, man.
Super glad, super glad. And as y'all can hear, we got Steve in here as well. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys?
We're hanging out tonight. We all haven't, you know, we've done a lot of episodes. I don't know if we've done a lot of episodes compared to last season's, but we've got a handful of episodes done this year, and they've all been pretty much interviewing folks and hanging out and learning some stories from people and bringing some old folks back on that have been on before. And we realized we haven't actually all caught up on what's happened in our lives, our overland lives, and maybe some trips and stuff we have going on. So tonight, that's what that's going to be, is the last 5 months of our life. What have we been doing? I know that there's some upgrades to vehicles. There are some new vehicles, and there are some new family members for some people as well. I don't know, where do we want, Jeff, let's start with you. Where have you been the last 5 months? I've been telling people all kinds of crazy stories about what you've been doing, but let's set the story straight.
I've been telling people crazy stories too, because I don't know where the fuck I'm at, you know. I thought I was in the car pickup line, but where the fuck you at, man? So so rewind back to like January. Yeah, January. Yeah. I'm sitting taking a shit, looking at my phone, and I get a text message from my wife, who's out to lunch with my son. Yeah. Says, "Hey, check out this house." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Like, that looks neat." She's like, "There's an open house." Yeah. I'm like, "What do you mean, like, there's an open house? Like, what?" She's like, "Yeah, there's an open house starting right now." So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's talk about it when you get home. So he gets home and I get in the car and we all get in the car as a family and we drive to this open house. And it's like 8 minutes away from my current house. And I mean, it's like check, 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 checks all the boxes and more.
Yeah.
So we ended up, I mean, out of the blue, just randomly bought a new house, sold our current house that we've lived in, not planning on it. I mean, anyone who owns a house can imagine, like, their significant other just messaging them, "Hey, let's buy a new house." You kind of talk about it, you plan. It's a process. Well, that didn't happen with us. So within, I think it was 32 days, we were out of our house. Like, offer went in. We put our house in the market. We got an offer in the first 13 hours, I think it was.
Jeez.
We accepted it, and we just it's been nonstop ever since. So that's where I've been. a lot of logistics go into that piece. But happy to say that this house is even better than the last house. There's even more space. That's awesome. I have a barn, a workshop, and a garage. So it's silly. We really hit the mark on the head, stayed in the same school district and whatnot. Nice. So yeah, that's where I've been at. I mean, there's so many details, but the cruiser is gonna have,
you didn't just move, you've also been remodeling a house.
I forgot about that. I gotta come up for some air every once in a while. So yeah, we bought a house, and it needed some work. There was some issues with the staircase going up to the second floor. There was, you know, it was built in the 80s, but it's a very large floor plan. And it's going to just work really well for the future. So yeah, we hired contractors and then fired contractors, and I'm left with a long laundry list of things that I have to fix from said contractors. You know, just going all in. It's one of those, like, you know, almost like a too good to be true type of thing, you know, kind of like moving out to here where I'm at, you know, it just seemed like too good to be true. And it wasn't. So everything's working out. Just been a lot of work. We basically had tore up, you know, the whole house. I mean, there was no kitchen, there was no flooring, there was no, all the walls were torn up, you know, drywall everywhere, dust. So we were living in the guest house on the property, and we're still kind of using the kitchen in the guest house. And it's just been, you know, a long process, but we're kind of getting out of the thick of it and able to relax. And when I realized we were able to relax was when I did a camping trip. So
nice.
Took the kids out for a weekend, a much needed weekend of chilling. We just went to Fall Creek Falls here in Tennessee. You know, nothing off grid. I, you know, posted a couple stories where I was, you know, roughing it, and there was like a Wi-Fi hotspot right for my house. And there's like a
trailer in and everything.
50 amp plug in, but I didn't use it. I was like, no way I'm using that. So, just, you know, just trying to get in the gist of everything, get everything working correctly, and, you know, getting my office set up. So, that's kind of the big updates of kind of where I've been at and why I've been heads down, a lot of moving pieces and whatnot.
For sure. I mean, that's not a small feat, like to move out of a house into a new house, remodel the new house, like while you're still getting used to the new house, like that's, man, hats off to you. Like that's crazy. Like every time I watched your stories, I was like, what is he doing? Like, I couldn't imagine the workload you had to take on to do all that, man. That's crazy.
One of my favorite ones was the contractors were here for almost 2 months doing stairs, drywall, ceiling, paint, you know, flooring. The contractors built the stairs on a Friday and they finished it. And they come back on Monday to me completely ripping up all of the stair treads, the landing, refinishing it with, you know, new oak hardwoods, ripping up the subfloor. And they come back and I did what they did in like, I mean, one day, and it took them like 3 days, and they were like, wait, what? I'm like, it just didn't look good, guys. I'm sorry. And you know, I've never hired someone to do something that I could do. And that's really hard for me. So to hire someone to do woodworking and that kind of stuff is difficult. A lot of just, you know, all over the place with things, and, you know, going out and buying new tools, and just, you know, expenses are just insane. You know, creates a lot of difficulties, if you know what I'm saying.
Like you said, though, it seems like this new place is checks all the boxes. You have all the space that you need, plus more. You know, you have a workshop, you have a barn. I mean, I've seen some pictures, and we'll have to, LJ and I'll have to get over there to just hang out with you for a little bit there. But you could probably host Overland Expo at your house, which would be like, just everything that I've seen seems like it's just really good property. I mean, you have plenty of space, everything. So
you're a bankrupt expo.
Let's just say you could pack in all of my friends who I keep up with on a normal basis and have room. I don't have some crazy ranch. It's 2 acres. It's not like I own 150 acres. But there's room. It's not in an HOA. I could do whatever I want. I could shoot guns in my backyard. So it's a big, you know, big change from what, you know, I moved here and, you know, bought sight unseen. So there's a lot of freedoms. There's, you know, a lot of space. So
that's cool, man. I love that for you. That's awesome.
But yeah, we're just kind of getting settled into it and just figuring everything out. And, you know, we got a new dog. So we got a Great Pyrenees.
Nice.
Big guy. He's like almost 100 pounds now. He's 1 year old. We have 15 chickens, 4 ducks.
Yeah.
And a pig showed up today.
Nice. Okay.
So that's
so you're homesteading.
Once we're homesteading. Yeah. We have peppers going in. We have, you know, some raised bed garden showing up, and we have a lot of things in the works. And we have the freedom to do it and not worry about, you know, that kind of stuff. So
that's really nice. Yeah. That's, that's one thing that I wish our property had was, we're in HOA. I will never buy another house in HOA. It's been a disaster. But I wish that we had the ability to have those things, right? I mean, we've all seen, how inflation has affected things. And like you mentioned, you had what, 15 or 20 chickens or something like that.
Like, yeah, 15.
You will have more eggs than you know what to do with, once they start producing eggs, and that's going to save you so much money, right? Like if you go through eggs and you had your family of four, right?
That's kind of a. You know, I just bought a 25-pound bag of feed. You know, it might work out, but
maybe you won't break even. But at least you'll know where those eggs came from. So
when you have free eggs showing up, it's like, oh, cool, free stuff. So
yeah.
But
well, you can get to your neighbors and then have bartering and a whole little. Farmers market. So
we have rain collection off of the barn. So we have a total of three 350 gallon tanks rain collection off of the roof. They fill up in about half of a week if there's some good rain.
Okay.
So a good week and a half, 2 weeks if it's light rain. So we got some solid water, which is kind of nice. There's a creek in the backyard.
Nice.
So there's a lot of cool things that, you know, we really wanted when we moved to Tennessee that we are getting now. So
yeah, definitely. Are you able to pump from the creek? Because like my dad has a creek in his backyard and he uses that to water his garden and his grapes.
I mean, yeah, you could throw in a creek. The house That's has awesome. A well, has a well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The pump needs to be replaced. It hasn't worked since I've moved in, but you could get that working and, you know, then have unlimited water. So that's kind of cool.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Did use the cruiser. We had a couple, when we had some winter storms, we had a couple power outages and plugged the cruiser in and powered, you know, the three fridges at the house and
that's amazing.
Some lights when we had, you know, some issues with the power going in and out and some the trees fell down on some lines. So
definitely.
that's kind of the main, you know, the main updates of what's been going on. Getting the cruiser ready for a camping trip with the Boy Scouts this weekend coming up.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be nice.
Where are you everything. Going?
We're going up to the Hawassee and Akoi River, which is a really beautiful spot. There's some group camp spots up there. So we'll be, you know, off grid, which is, you know, kind of off grid, but we'll be doing the usual movies and projectors and popcorn.
Jeff's never off grid.
Yeah, never off.
He brings a grid with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff is the grid.
Yeah.
someday I'll build my own cruiser power wall.
There you go.
I was gonna say when you have the trailer, you do have like a full on grid.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, I got 660 amp hours. Of power.
You probably had more amp hours than me and Nick and Dave combined. And maybe Steve. I don't know. I feel like.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. He has way more. I have 50. So you have what?
Yeah. So all of us combined. So like the whole crew, you had more in your Land Cruiser and trailer than we had on in our whole group.
Yeah, that's probably
actually kind of wild.
But, you know, hey, you know, I do love the community. I want to do a shout out to the community. So anyone who has questions about electrical, I love it when they hit me up. Like some guy who just came across my stories, hit me up and was talking about batteries. And he was like, so intrigued. He's like, this is awesome. And he was asking questions and like, I'm right there, man. Like I'm hitting you up. I'm hitting you right back. And he goes, man, I have so many questions. I was like, keep them coming, man.
Yeah.
So I'm literally giving my daughter a bath and he's messaging me. He's like, dude, would it be weird if I did a video call with you? I'm like, no, dude, hit me up. Like, not with my daughter in the bath.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
With me talking about electrical. Sort of
yeah.
So I hit him up and, you know, we chatted about electrical and he did a video walkthrough of what he has in his cruiser and he's running, you know, lead acid batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was talking to me about that, all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, this is so awesome. Like, this is why I do it. Like, that's the only reason why I started my Instagram is just to get people to do these things for themselves. And same thing with this podcast is like, you know, we've talked about, you know, the bare necessities of what you need to go overland. It's like nothing. Just go out with your, with your foam cooler and go. Mm-hmm. Like I started out with nothing, man. Like I went overlanding. I'm doing some air quotes for you guys not watching with, you know, when I sold all my stuff after I had kids and, you know, I had nothing. It was a, you know, a struggle just to go spend $100 on gas to go out to the desert. And it was like, go out there, man. I had my cheap single burner, stove with like a pot and pan that I had stole from my kitchen. And I had like, I remember I tied it to the table with, some of that, like, paracord and like, cause it like would tip over. And like, there's a video on my, you know, YouTube, my personal YouTube, just, you know, just for memories and stuff of like me and my son when he was like 2 years old. And I had nothing, man. Like I didn't have lithium. I didn't have crazy Camp Chef stoves. I didn't have off-road lights. I had street tires and a two-wheel drive Xterra and I'm out in the middle of nowhere just enjoying it. And it's
amazing.
Like, you know, people always, you know, want to be, you know, something. And it's like, no, you're already that. Just do it.
Just you have to go do it. Exactly.
Yeah. I love when the community just reaches out and just asks questions. Like if you don't ask, you're never going to find out. Like it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's so cool because like, I always credit all my electrical knowledge from you, right? Is you were kind of the person that I always went to. And then I started learning from you. And now, you know, you and I can have pretty in-depth conversations about 12 volt and, you know,
like earlier today.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, like you sending me a video of you top charging or top loading all your batteries that you built.
Yeah.
Like that was the most exciting thing that happened to me. Besides my daughter's birth, right? Like, just seeing you. It sounds weird to say it.
Oh, talk to me dirty. Top balances batteries.
Yeah, it's just it's so cool because, like you said, it's special when people in the community reach out, would recognize the knowledge and time that you put in to learn this stuff, and want to learn from you. So that's really cool. That's a cool story to
and
share.
I learned it from people doing the same thing that I'm doing and the same thing that you're doing when people ask about your stuff. If anyone searches anything about lithium, you find Solar Will, who's this young kid who
the Will Prowse
literally had nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. Solar Will Prowse. And he lived in an RV and he built solar systems. And like, you know, I learned all of the things that I was like, this thing's going to explode on me. And it's like, no, it's safer than you think. Like,
yeah,
the batteries that we build are safer than like your DeWalt battery sitting on the charger, like
it is.
In your garage. Like it, you know, so
man.
Just got to ask, just got to reach out and ask.
Sure. So it sounds like you've been heads down at least with the whole new homestead and acquiring new family members. LJ alluded to it. No one's had a kid since Jeff's been on. So, you have acquired a new family member today, and you mentioned it. That's a little piglet. Is its name really Charlotte?
Yeah, it's Charlotte.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's Charlotte.
Oh my God. For her, is it a male or female?
It's a female.
I don't know much. A web ornament for your Christmas tree.
Yes. You make my kids watch Charlotte's Web before.
Yeah. we may have just dated ourselves, but so, like I said, it's. I'm glad that you're back on and you're kind of, like you said, head above water. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's good to be, you know, back on talking to you guys and, you know, the community. So many things just in the works. So many things I want to do. There's a lot of upgrades that I'm working on. And, you know, just getting back into the grind of, you know, the normal life, you know, outside mm-hmm. of the extended, you know, stuff. So
yeah, definitely. So
yeah.
Well, LJ, last episode we recorded, we kind of alluded to something new that you'd gotten. You want to talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, it's not as cool as what Jeff's been doing, because that's
I've been seeing you
pull trees down with your Land Cruiser do all kinds of stuff around there, man. That's, like I said, like Steve was saying, I'm excited to get down there and hang out for a weekend, check it out, camp out and spend some time with you. Glad to have you back on the cast here.
Thanks.
So on my side, I picked up a new Tundra. Not a new Tundra, a 2021 Tundra, the last of the great.
That's pretty new. I'm driving a 97.
Well, you think about it, we're 2023, so you've got 2 years of the new body style out now. So saying a new Tundra is not, see a lot of those.
You got the outgoing model. How about that?
Yeah, it is the last year of the, you know, the big V8 in them, and that was the big kicker for me of what I was looking for was the
5.7.
Yeah, the reliability. You're talking almost 15 years they made that platform.
Yeah, million mile motor right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm getting into something new or newer. I want to get into something that I know is going to last. I already own one large GM vehicle, which I put a transmission in at 100,000 miles. Ooh. And
couldn't be Toyota.
Yeah. And then, you know, I know some guys with large Nissan trucks that have had some issues around 75K.
Tennessee NFL. What is it? The mascots or whatever, the Nissan Titans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nissan Stadium. Yeah. Nissan has a big presence here in Nashville, middle Tennessee. They've got some production plants out here in Smyrna. And so, yeah, they've got a place here. I just wish their vehicles would run past 100,000 miles without major repairs.
So that was Nick's Titan then, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You just shot him under the bus.
I did. I said, yeet. Ooh, listen. He's gotten a 4Runner and a 200 series now. So he's seen the light. So
he knows what he's doing. But yeah, so it's, you know, he's had some issues. And, you know, transmission went out about the same time as it did in this GM. So it's just a thing of, like, I think it's just these bigger vehicles, and as they're trying to build these transmissions with more gears from your traditional old school 3-speed or 4-speeds, they're catching issues, right? And these first gen of these longer 6, 7, 8-speed transmissions are you're finding the limit on them. They say that in the 2021 or 2022 model they fixed these, but, you know, who really knows? I know that whenever we did the transmission on this one, I told her what was going on, and she had the price, like, written down in front of her, because that's how common it is. They do. She said they do three transmissions a week on these, and so you just got in the schedule, and they build three of them.
They know what to do.
It's a manufacturing facility, basically. Like, it just, they always do it.
Yep.
And so luckily everything's replaceable and easily fixed in these. I think the Nissans have a little bit tougher time finding the parts and stuff to do it. So all that said, I'm not going to drive a Ford, because I'm just never been a Ford guy. You're either a Ford guy or you're not a Ford guy. You're not really in the middle. And I'm not a Ford guy. And I was actually between a Ram and a Tundra. I didn't know which one I really wanted to get. Yeah. So look at the Power Wagons, because, you know, they got a locker in the back and They're pretty built.
Wait, hold on. You're justifying another vehicle because you need another locker?
No, I'm just saying it was an option of mine. I was like, you know, if I'm going to get the Dodge Ram, I was going to get the Power Wagon.
Yeah, of course.
And one of the benefits of that was it's fully capable, right?
Yep.
But it also, you know, it's not really built for towing. Mm-hmm. It's built more for off-roading. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. I drove a few and they're big and they're really big.
Yeah.
It's a big truck. The 2500 series of those Rams are big trucks. And, just felt really big. I don't think I needed something that big right now. And, that's when I kind of came back to the Tundra, and the Tundra's just known reliable, and the Rams aren't bad, but just in the Toyota family for me. So stuck with the Tundra and ended up locking this one down. I was looking for, I've been looking for a truck for 6-7 months now, if not longer.
Yeah, a good half year at least.
Yeah. I think I test drove a few before the Red Clay Rally in October. So I've been looking for a while, and I really wanted either a cement or the Lunar Rock or like a dark gray color scheme.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, and to get those is pretty rare because they're only in the TRD Pro scheme. Yeah.
Yep.
So you have to, and they're only made for 1 year, and they make limited numbers of them, right? So you know, you might have 20 or 30 for sale across the nation, but you're going to have a couple 2-3 hour drive probably to get to one that's close to you. And so, you know, I was looking for a while, and this one popped up here in Nashville, and I had, you know, all my settings set, so I would get notified when things came on the market through certain websites and stuff like that. And they, this one popped up, and there wasn't any pictures on it yet. They had like, it was a 2021 that had cement, and I was like, well, they didn't make cement in 2021. It was a Dodge dealership, so naturally they didn't know what they were doing.
Toyota.
And so I saw it, and I was like, man, they had it priced like $5,000 below like what the internet says it should be, which, you know, everybody's kind of pricing these things around the same the same price. So I was like, man, $5,000 below, that's a deal. Like, I'm going to go scoop this thing up if it's clean. Like,
you know, it's a Toyota and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not like it's going to be a lemon. So
Right. And so I called up there, and the guy's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I was like, well, it's on your website. He was like, what? I was like, yeah, dude, look at that right now. Yeah. He was like, oh, hold on. And he like comes back and he's like, yeah, I got traded in. It's going to get here tomorrow. And I was like, cool. Well, I kind of want it. What are we going to do about this? he was like, well, I mean, I guess I'll just call you when it gets back in. I was like, cool. I was like, can you like reserve it for me or hold it until I can get down there and look at it? I was like, has anybody called about it? I said, not you, obviously, but has anybody else called it? And he was like, I don't know. He goes, no, we got to have like an LOI or something to be able to hold a car for somebody. And I was like, well, send over what you got, send over, man. And so he sent it over, and they had,
it's so funny. The dealerships, like, they act like it's a problem to do this stuff. And it's like, I'm a person ready to buy a vehicle. I don't care. Just say, if you want to reserve it, here's the documents.
Yeah. so they send over, you know, the final price, and they added like $6,000 in fees on top of it. So I was like messaging back, and I was like, hey man, I was kind of wanting to buy it for the price you had it listed for, not an extra $6,000. He was like, oh, these are fees that we have to have on here. And I was like,
no, right. Yeah,
really.
Like the ceramic coating, right? Wasn't
one, well, one of them? Was one of them was for a ceramic coating that was already on the truck, and then the other one was called reconditioning, and yeah, they had basically like $6,000 or $5,000 split between those two. Which I'm like, why did you, I was like, so I was like, okay, whatever. It's like, you know what, I know deals get done in person, so I'm gonna go down there, and I'm at least going to get my first visit out of the way, because most of the time you got to walk out at least once of a dealership before they'll actually give you the right price. And so I'm like, I'm going to get this knocked out. We'll go get this done if I have to leave, or get the deal done. I don't know. So I drove up there. The guy's like, oh, hey, man, wasn't expecting to see you here today. I was like, no, I want to get a deal done, man. So I came here to get a deal done. He was like, all right, cool. So we sit down. He's a cool guy. I've bought a lot of cars, and I typically don't enjoy the sales process of buying a car because it's really annoying, and
sure,
it's just annoying. And I'm a sales guy, and like I know how annoying it is.
Yeah,
absolutely. <hate it. laughs> and so we, we're sitting there, and he goes and he talks to the guy behind the thing, you know, the whole whole rigmarole and the dancing.
Oh my god, the dance and pony show.
And and he was like, "All right, so what are we going to do?" I was like, "Hey, I told you we need to get to just where you have it listed, dog. I'm not even trying to negotiate you down. I'm just saying like the price you have on the internet." He goes, All right. So you know, he goes over there, and manager comes back like 10 minutes later, and sitting there on Instagram, desk scrolling. And he's like, "I'm like, oh hey, what's up, man?"
Yeah.
He was like, "Hey, I can only do 2,500 off of this," and I was like, "Well, that's not what I'm going to do." He was like, "Well, I can't do anything better," and I was like, "Well, I guess we're done here." Yeah. And he was like, "Really?" I was like, "Yep, take care, man."
Yeah,
it really sucks that you don't want to sell me your truck for what you have it listed for.
Yeah, so it'd be crazy. The easiest sale for them that day. Like, come done. On now,
yeah. Done. So I walk out, and of course, I'm texting you guys right through all this.
Yeah,
I'm seeing all screenshots of this Joker and all this stuff. Yes. And so I left that day, and I was kind of bummed. I was like, somebody's gonna go buy this thing, man. It's low miles. It's a good condition truck, you know, on paper. It had all the Toyota maintenance done on it at the Toyota dealership up through the mileage. Like it's the right vehicle to buy. It was local trade in, so you don't have to worry about anything crazy happening. I mean, it's all, you know, exactly what you want from it.
It's checking the boxes. Yeah.
So I actually walked out and I was like, man, you'll sell to some knucklehead in the next couple days. Though somebody will come in and pay it and not notice it. I was like, good job, man. Like, so I just rolled out. I was like, somebody's gonna call in and grab this thing. I'm done. The next day, dude texts me. He's like, "Hey, man, the truck's in here. If you want to come look at it?" And I was like, "No, not really, because I'm not going to pay that." And he was like, "Nah, I think they're going to come off of it for you." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And so drove up. Test drove it. And the guy had just like brought it back. So it was like trade-in form, like completely how the guy was using it. It didn't have anything done to it yet. So I was like, perfect. So I'm going to test drive it now. Before anything could be done to it, and drove it around for like an hour and a half. Like when you test drive a car, people, you need to go on about your business for a while and get comfortable with it. Go hit the interstate, go hit a highway, go get on a back road and hit some turns and maybe go sit in a parking lot and just do some donuts with the windows down. Not like donuts, like drive around circles. With the windows down, some figure eights. Just to
hit some potholes, just to see how the suspension handles.
Drive up on a curve, jump or back if it's a truck. Definitely jump.
Red Clay Rally,
jump it twice. So I spent some time with it, and you know, I could only find a couple things that need to be fixed on it. A couple little small chips in the paint, nothing bad at all. And so, went back, and they agreed to do it at the price they listed it for, minus another $500 after we talked about some things. And then they fixed everything that I found was wrong with it. The guy was like, "We don't really normally have people on the ground digging under cars." And I was like, "Well, you're sure we don't have people that know what they're buying when they're buying a car, do they?"
You haven't met me, have you?
I give him the list of things that need to be fixed. And he's like, "Okay, all right, we'll get it done."
Yeah.
And then, you know, you think you got a deal done. Then you go in to talk with the guy who's going to finish the deal. And I don't get out of there for like 20 minutes without him trying 20 times with some extended warranty. I'm like, dude, I'm buying a Toyota with 30,000 miles. I don't need an extended warranty.
Yeah.
Like, unless your warranty extends to 250,000 miles, I don't need it right now.
I don't need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was annoying. And we ended up walking out, and the salesman was like, "I see you still got your knees." And I said, "Yeah, I left you with a pretty mad finance manager." When I went to finally pick it up, you know, I had to give him the check.
Yeah.
And the guy would even look at me from his computer. And I was like, "That's called a win in my book."
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
From one salesman to another.
Yep.
Go middle finger yourself. Right to you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was so mad. I had everything already ready and prepared. And so he just had he had nothing he could do. And
no recourse. Like, yeah.
Well, I was like, "Sorry, dog. Like, this is it right here."
Yeah. I hate buying cars.
That's the worst.
But I got it. It took him like another 2 weeks to get everything done on it. Right. Cause it is what it is. But I knew that they would do it by the end of the month because they wanted the money. So
yeah.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, we got it. 2021 Tundra TRD Pro and Lunar Rock. It's got
gorgeous. You know, oh, I love that color.
Just rolled over 36,000 miles yesterday.
Nice.
So congratulations, dude.
Thanks. That's first incredible. Warranty is off the books, unfortunately. Yep. I still have another, I guess, powertrain warranty to like 70,000 miles. So still good there. Not gonna do really anything to it right now. Suspension is clearly still good because it's so low in mileage. It's got, you know, it's a TRD Pro package, so it's got all the things I would want on it.
Has what, rear locker, some skids, a little bit better suspension,
right? Has a limited slip differential.
Limited slipper. Okay. Yeah.
Skids. Yeah. It's nice. Not going off road though. Well, I guess I'm taking it to the Outer Banks in like a month, so it will be in the sand.
Nice.
So I get to test the TRD suspension for what it was really built for.
Yeah. Baja, that shit.
Kind of Baja stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to put some bigger tires on it because tires, you know, I'm going to avoid it. That's what I do.
Of course. Got to do tires.
35.
Have you settled on a tire brand yet?
I don't know if I'm going to go BFG just because, you know, I'm trying to get a tire that I know will go another 50,000 miles because that'll kind of be when it's time to upgrade the suspension because we'll be at like 80 to 100,000 miles at that time. So that's about the time I'll plan to go in and replace things. And, you know, I might go up and build a little bit bigger. We'll see when that time comes. But for right now, I'm looking for something that I know will last. So like, you know, I'm trying to find something with those warranties on them for the mileage. Cause you know, the Nittos are cool looking, but there's nobody's going to put a warranty on those. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. I'll say, so I was looking at the BFGs. I was looking at the Falcons as well. Those are pretty much, I think, where I've settled. And then I'm looking at like a 34 inch is the tire, 34/11.
Nice.
So it'd be a little tall, skinnier. I don't think I'm going to go. A lot of people put spacers on them. I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to leave it regular.
I think it looks great without spacers, man. It looks very proportional.
It's a truck, you know. It's I don't know. It's I got two good wide beefy tire vehicles, and so this one's going to be to pull things, and I want to try to maintain as much fuel economy as I can, and skinnier tires help you do that.
Calling skinnies, baby.
Yep. So
those Kenda 35 10-5 17s, man.
Those are tall and skinny.
Yeah, they
cleavers.
Nice.
So you gonna go with the BFG alternates, the KO2s, because they I don't know if you saw this, the new Ford Ranger Raptor was just announced like last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's the first production vehicle with the new KO3s. So we know KO2s have been a thing for a decade. They just released the KO3s and they look exactly the same. So they look exactly the same. And I was so disappointed because like the evolution from the KM2s, so the BF Goodrich KM2s that you had on your 80, Jeff, to the KM3s. Was a very clear evolution, right? Like you still had the bones of the KM2s, but you could tell that technology aided in the KM3s, but the KO2s to the KO3s, it looks like they just did copy paste. And I was pretty disappointed actually with that. But KO2s are still a fantastic tire in my opinion, especially for something that's going to do towing. You got the 3-peak rated tire. The 3-peak snow mountain peak, whatever rated tire.
Yep.
Great siping, great tread life warranty. Manufacturers use it for a reason, right?
So
I'm excited to see it.
It's a good one. I'm basically kind of holding out right until before we head to the Outer Banks to put them on this point, just because the tires are on it now. They've got, you know, they could be better. If I wasn't planning to upgrade them, they'd probably still run another probably 5-10,000 miles maybe before it got real bad. So I'm running them until I don't have to anymore. And then right before our trip, we're going to do that and get that done. I've also got to put on, I got a set of Billy bars for the bed. And it's like it's a bed track system that it connects to the Toyota track system, but it's a bed rack system, excuse me. And it allows you to have your tonneau cover. And it has a bracket system that slides underneath your tonneau cover, connects to the bed track, and then kicks up and connects those aluminum crossbars like that are on most of the roof racks nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so it has two of those on it. And I got another one up rack. And so me and Wyatt will be able to take our bikes on our way out to the Outer Banks. And then I got, it also has like a little awning thing that you can mount to it as well. Yeah, so I got a 270 awning to throw on it. Wow. So we have some shade on the beach while we're out there. Because you know, we're going back to the Outer Banks where we can we'll be driving on the beach, and so the Tundra will be the center base. Mm-hmm. I gotta run some power to the bed for the fridge.
Okay.
But I think that pretty much will cover the upgrades that I have in place right now before we head out to the beach.
That's awesome, dude.
Some small little touches, just things to make it a little bit more appealing. But me and Wyatt, we're going to hit up Beach Mountain and do some mountain biking on our way out. And then we're picking up the girls in Raleigh. They're going to fly into Raleigh. And so we're going to have a couple of days where we just get to do some mountain biking, mosey to the Outer Banks, and then run at the Outer Banks. We'll be hanging there for for a week at in this town. That's I'm just not going to talk about it because I want to always stay where it is.
Yeah. I think I know where you're talking. Maybe not, but
you know where I'm talking about.
Okay. If it's that place, then yeah, you better not say a damn word to our listeners because I want to visit there. Be quiet.
No, we're going back. We kept looking at a bunch of different vacations and mm-hmm. you know, parents out there with kids will resonate with this is that, you know, sometimes when you go on a vacation with your kids, you're just parenting another location.
Yeah.
And this trip, because it is so remote and kind of out there, is there's not a lot of stuff to do. So it makes you relax, like as a family. Yeah. And it was the first trip that we've done, you know, as a family, and my oldest is 9, mm-hmm. That everyone came back more relaxed than when we left.
Good.
Like
that's awesome.
Significantly more relaxed. And so I was like, we got to do this again. Like there's no, until our kids are older and can like enjoy like really cool travel. That makes sense a little bit more. It's like, no, this is what we're doing until y'all, you know, can jump on a plane for 20 hours and we can go do something.
Yeah.
You know, pretty cool and crazy.
Really cool.
Yeah. But they need some more awareness before we go into like foreign countries and start doing stuff like that.
For sure.
I guess they would probably be fine, but I would prefer a little more awareness. So I'm not on edge.
Yeah. The whole time. Makes sense.
But yeah, it's been fun to have the Tundra, the Land Cruiser. We still have the Land Cruiser. Don't worry, Land Cruiser friends. It's currently sitting at the farm because I don't have enough room at my house right now to store it. So it's sitting up there waiting for the next big adventure. It's getting poked around the farm a little bit. My in-laws are using it for small little things, I think, around their farm to help out. So at least it's getting some use and it's getting moved around, which is ideal. Yeah. You never want those things just sitting, you know, some bad things happen. So, it's living a different life. I'll have to figure out how to do all the things before adventures. Because y'all know how that is. You got to get things ready.
Oh yeah.
So you're going to go from the 5.7, which is like, or almost 400 horsepower.
Yeah.
Back to the cruiser with like half 35
and big white tires. And
like for the, I think the Red Clay Rally is like the first thing that's like on the list of like things I know the Land Cruiser will be doing. I thought about doing Colorado in July. I just don't think I can pull that off with work when we have the rally and then Peru and then Cruisers on the Rocks. So I've got a few things stacked out there that I'll be doing. So I had to bail out, but I think I am going to do Cruisers on the Rockies next year for at least.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
We should all go out there. We should plan that.
I'd love to
do that. Like I would be so down to get in the cruisers and just,
I'm not allowed families. I'm not allowed unless I build the wife's car.
That's true. Right. Cause you're 80 series.
Well, if you wanted to be a trail leader, you could.
I'm can also I identify knowing as 100 series?
I might know Lee. Lee might make an exception since we might be a sponsor or something. You know, he did say sponsors can drive whatever they want. So, you know, I told Lee if we can find something that we can do to benefit the community, we're all in to sponsor something, right?
I'll toaster oven microwave your hot pockets in the morning. Yes. How about that?
Well, you know, we could maybe sponsor a meal one night and do a movie night. and throw there a movie on the, yeah. on the side of the trailer.
We'll watch
the
How about a movie with Dolby Atmos 5.1 surround sound? How does that sound?
That sounds amazing.
Does that check your boxes with margaritas hand blended by a machine? That.
We'll just have 100 series front diff shattering noises just on repeat.
Oh my God. I identify as 100 series. I identify as independent suspension.
Oh my God. Oh man. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be just having the pedal to the floor in that Land Cruiser, just wondering why it's not going fast whenever I get in again.
Good.
Especially because I'm also driving. I drove Erica's Yukon the other day, and I was like, "This thing's so fast!"
Well, it has LS in it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it has it's a giant LS motor. Like,
the big one too. Yeah. So my new house is at the top of like the biggest hill that on the mountain.
No.
So, like to go anywhere, you have to go down. And the 80 series like just hates this hill. Like I'm in first gear, just riding it out to get up this hill. Well, and then it's like, yeah, I'm a big bitch. Yeah, I am. So here's the problem is I used to go up this hill all the time when I lived at my old house, but I would have 10 minutes from the top of the hill to my house to let the engine cool back down. So now I go to Home Depot, which is like 12 minutes away now, which is nice. But I'm sitting at like 230 degrees when I pull in my driveway because like I don't have any time for the engine to cool down. So this summer I got to figure out a process of like what should I do? I don't just want to turn it off every time. You can time put on
some electric fans.
So I did that last summer, trying it to see if I could.
Did you set the relay up where they'll run for like 5 minutes after you?
Well, that doesn't cool down the motor. That just cools down the radiator.
Oh, I guess you're right. It doesn't help you any.
But
it's not circulating. Jeez, LJ.
Yeah. So I did do the electric fan myth, and I bought like a. I don't know, a 12-inch fan, and I put it on the radiator to see if it would, you know, bring down the AC temps, and it didn't do anything. A good clutch fan takes care of it. And like semi trucks don't have electric fans; they have a giant ass clutch fan that just sucks, you know, suck starts of leaf blower, you know, no problem.
Yeah,
tell me more.
So
say less.
Tell me more. So. Yeah, that's something I got to figure out. I'm going to have to like roll in like I'm at a dyno, like pull into the garage with like those giant shop fans.
Yeah. I mean, you just leave it running for a few minutes, it'll naturally cool itself back down.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. So maybe I'll put like a turbo timer on it.
Turn the
like,
heat on inside and just let it run with the heat on while you.
The heat's kind of clogged. And
God, Jim.
Could that clog in your heat be why the water might not be circulating well enough to cool the
engine? Oh, maybe.
I just didn't know if all those things were connected or not.
Yeah. I mean, definitely not. No way. They're definitely not connected.
On next week's podcast, Jeff rebuilds his motor because he fucking
overheated. Jeff has his dash off rebuilding his heater core.
Yeah. So when I leave my house with the trailer, I got to come up this road now.
Oh.
So, you know, 2 weekends ago when I went camping, I'm coming up, you know, this Roberts Mill Road, which is, I mean, it's steep. If you live in a mountain or if you go to Colorado and go to a pass, it's steep. it does like, I don't know, almost 1800 feet in 2 miles, 3 miles. It's a good pass.
Yeah.
And I'm going up it in first gear, just winding that bitch out, just redlining it, just going up this hill.
There's and nothing like an 80 series pegging out at like $5,000.
Straight six. Yeah. It's just
screaming. It sounds like a sewing machine. It's like,
what you need to do is throw your hazards on, throw it in low, and just creepy crawl all the way up. It might take you triple the time to get up there, but
no,
yeah. It's the problem is it's really sharp turns too. Mm. So like you go around the turns and like you're picking up wheels like in four low.
That's wild. Cause
it's yeah. You guys got to come see my house. You got to come up here because it doesn't do justice until you guys come out. So.
Well, I was texting Dave actually a couple days ago about this rafting and wheeling trip.
Oh yeah. That
we were talking about. And so he was like, let's get the rally crew together and let's do it. So could be some options there. Could be some options there. I like it.
Yeah. You guys ready to go down some class 5 rapids?
Fuck no. No, I avoided rapids.
Dave is the man. Like, if you go down this rafting trip, and you go down this river, I mean, you might as well be sitting with Dolly Parton going down the Tennessee Highway because more people are going to wave at you and be like, "Hi, Dave, what's up, man?"
So
Dave,
he's a river rat legend.
He is the legend going down this place. So yeah, just be surprised.
Are you going to go, Jeff?
Oh, I'm down. Yeah, we're already doing a kids trip. So we're doing a kids trip with the old neighbors and stuff.
Yeah. Soon,
so
heck yeah.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
Well, I'm super excited about that. I think that'll be a fun time. Some water sports in the summer. Nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Steve, we've talked about our new toys on our side, and
yes,
there's some new toys on your side.
I have your
Lexus.
It's not a house and it's not a truck. So like lame boy Steve over here. No, I have some cool stuff.
Is it in between?
What are you doing to your stock Land Cruiser again?
So yeah. So I got a couple things in the chamber. So I was able to score a set of five. Well, it was really a set of four that I picked up a solo Rock Warrior wheel, which was one of my top two wheels. So I'm really excited to step down into a 17 inch wheel. And if you're a Toyota guy, you know that the Rock Warriors are just a really stout wheel, right? Super lightweight. I think they're like 21 pounds each without the little rock ring that they have there.
I was curious what makes them so special. Is it just the look of them or is it how they're made?
Yeah, it's they're a forged wheel, so they're super strong. Okay. So typically you'll see forged wheels in wheels that are like thousands of dollars. So the wheels we made fun of on our overpriced overland stuff. That's like the Volks style wheel. Yeah, Volks TE 37. You have like Evo Course, which is done
the right way. Forged is the right way to do it, and OEM does it the right way.
Yeah. And so I was able to score a set of five of those, so that's going to go on the truck, and then that lets me step down to 17, which I prefer the 17 inch wheel. Maybe it's just my Jeep roots or something. I just love the 17 inch look with a little bit fatter tire or taller tire. Got a set of five Rock Warriors. And then I scored a Descent rear bumper, which is I'm really stoked about that.
No more skinny jeans.
No
rear.
I know, man. No. It's look, every time I see it, I'm like, oof, it looks rough back there. But I got a Descent bumper, and Cole Willis works at Descent. He reached out to me. It's kind of funny because like I've been building this bumper for a number of weeks now and just like abandoning the cart. And so if you're not in the tech space, you know that if you are, then you know that like abandoning carts is not a good thing, right? Because it basically kind of flags your inventory and then kind of doesn't necessarily throw things off, but you just have a hold on that, and then they have to kind of do a whole refresh process. Anyway, so I kept rebuilding this bumper, and Cole basically reached out to me and said, hey, we'll cut you a deal if you stop building this damn bumper and abandoning the car. I said, all right, bet. So I got, I don't have the bumper yet because Descent Off-Road, if you know Lankers, you know Descent, but they're made one off. So they're all handmade, and the welds are basically pieces of art. Which is going to be cool. And so, yeah, the rear bumper to complete the rear end. So I'll have a rear tire carrier And I'll get the ladder. And actually, it was kind of cool because Cole said, yeah, not a whole lot of people buy the ladder. They either get just the spare tire carrier or the rear tire carrier and nothing else, or they'll get jerry can holders or whatever. But he said that, like, this ladder is kind of cool because you can attach things to. So there's a little bit of utility there, which is awesome. And the bigger thing that you don't know about LJ is so Jeff bought a house, you bought a truck. I actually ended up buying buying a camper trailer. So the whole camping situation for us is changed. And so if you've been listening to the podcast long enough, you know that the evolution of my camping out of the vehicle has changed through the years. So started off with the drawers that you now have, LJ, with a XPED, just kind of super bare bones platform, slept in there with a cooler. Transitioned to the rooftop tent, which I loved, had the drawers, the fridge, everything. And then went to, for a very short time, the Gazelle tent. And then realizing that I still want a little bit more space and a little bit more comfort, we settled on a Opus OP4. So
Settled, like, put the shrimp
on the barbie.
Yeah, so straight
that's
up
a kick-ass trailer, dude.
Nice work, I am, man. So pumped
straight
about
from
it.
The Outback, dude.
Yeah,
that thing's awesome.
Thank you. I am so the OP4 was like my Goldilocks trailer because the moment I saw it on those guys' YouTube show, the 24/7 four wheel drive with Shano and all them, I was like, man, that setup is awesome because it's still low profile, has independent A arms for the suspension. So basically,
very low profile.
But being a taller guy, you know, all three of us are really tall guys. I want that standing room height inside of the trailer. So a teardrop would never going to really work for us. Right. And so that was kind of like my Goldilocks trailer. And we looked, I'm not kidding you. We're looking for a trailer for a year, and we were going to dealerships, looking at trailers, spending hours and hours just piecing or pulling apart every trailer that we could find, the pros and cons. And at one point we were like, screw it. Let's just get a little Wolf Pup trailer. You know, they're mass produced, cheaply made, just to get us out there. But it just never felt right because, like, the way I kind of unwind and relax is to get back far into the woods, right? Like, campgrounds are cool. You know, they have their place, and we're definitely going to be using campgrounds a lot more now. But when I really want to disconnect, I need to get back there, and I need to be able to wheel a little bit to get to those spots. And so nothing really fit the bill for, like, the mass
production. Wait, hold on. So is that changing the wheel to camp or camp to wheel aspect of what you're doing? Because this is a big deal right here. Hold on.
That's a great question.
Pause the podcast. Rewind.
Listen, after the rally, I have recognized how much I enjoy wheeling with you guys. So
kind of fun.
The focus will still be camping, but, like, having the ability to still wheel with the camper was a pretty big priority for me.
I think, like, out west, right? Like, you could plan, like, with that trailer, you can plan a big trip, and the further out west you go, the more, mm-hmm. you know, the more stuff you can do. Like, there were a lot of places in Colorado where I was camping that you'd be able to get there fine with an off-road trailer. Like, and when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, it's not mm-hmm. a campsite, things like that out, you know, you got in the desert and it's not crazy hard and tight. Mm-hmm. So you may be able to get that thing around. Right. It just,
I mean, LJ, have you seen these trailers go down Gunshot in Australia?
No.
So Gunshot.
The fucking wheel.
have you seen Gunshot? Have you seen that?
Yeah. Isn't it the one that's, like, straight down?
That's just straight down.
Yeah.
the guys bring these trailers straight down. I mean, there's water crossings where it's like almost over the top of this thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
there you go.
And so you like,
are set.
Yeah. The thing is like, I watched a guy, in a 4Runner run an OP4 through the Ozarks, which is maybe not as tight as what we got up here in Tennessee, but I mean, it's still forest, right? So, once I saw kind of how it won't be as easy as just a single vehicle, right? So there's a challenge aspect to that I'll have to learn and learn kind of the vehicle dynamics while towing.
Yeah.
But this one, like Jeff had mentioned, the house checked all the boxes. This Opus, I could not get it out of my head. I mean, standing room height, I have a king size bed on one side. I have a lounge dinette area. I have a 4-burner propane stove. I have a fridge. This one, actually, this is going to sound crazy, but it has an AC and a heater built into it. It has a projection screen and a projector in it. It has 40 gallons of onboard water, has instant hot water heater. So like it's
set up.
Are you bringing it on the rally?
Well, I'll bring it on, not this next one, because we'll be moving every day. And so, but like if we have the same setup where we're base camping, yeah, it's going to come.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was joking about this year. Like, are you going to bring it and wheel it every day?
No. No, I don't know if my heart can handle that. That might be I'll be already freaked out trying to keep Walker alive in the in the passenger seat. So, and just having the ability to bring my family comfortably, you know, without having to worry about, you know, the heat of the summer, because down here in the Southeast, it gets kind of miserable, right? Unless if you find like that campground that we found in when we had that giant heat wave last year, when we had the bankrupt boondoggle. So, it's going to give us that flexibility to, if I want to go solo or with Jessica and get deep into the woods, I can with the trailer while still maintaining that comfort. Or we can park it up at a campground, plug it in, and have all the amenities that we need. So,
If you just want to cruise up for an overnight thing or a small little weekend thing, you can go plug in, set up, enjoy being outdoors for a nice weather weekend, and it's not a big deal, right? You just come home, pack it up, put it back up, right?
Yeah, and so I kind of alluded to it. So I was making room in my garage to fit it because it'll fit. Because it's not tall. It's not a tall camper. When it's
like 48 inches tall, almost.
Yeah,
maybe 50.
Yeah, so it'll easily fit in my garage. And so then it's out of the elements and all that, and I can just hook up and go. And so it's really cool because there's a lot of off-road capabilities built into it. So it has electronic rear, electronic brakes. It has the DO35 master articulating hitch. So it articulates in 360 degrees.
That's pretty cool.
It has the two independent A arms for suspension. I actually saw an alignment bolt, which was kind of interesting. I don't know. I don't know what I'll have to read all the manuals and stuff, but I guess you can get the alignment done on that stuff. Like I said, the 40 gallons of water, the frame is all galvanized steel, or it's basically coming from Australia. So it's basically rust proof. I don't know if it's specifically galvanized or if it's like a zinc.
I think it's a galvanized. This is one of those. Yeah.
It's like a zinc galvanized. The frame is like basically giant box frame, which is, again, goes to the robustness of being able to actually drive this off road and it be able to handle it. So that's the big news.
It's easy setup too. To give you guys an idea, if anyone listening has ever done like a stand up paddleboard, like on one of the inflation ones, they're rock hard. They're rock solid. It's the same type of material, and it's an airframe for these. And it's a canopy, and it self-inflates. So you push a button and it has a compressor that inflates the whole thing. and it stands up to high wind. There's no poles or anything that you have to set up and worry about in high wind. It's rigid. It's a it's very sturdy.
And it's pretty cool because I was super skeptical of like the air pole technology, right? Like you think, no way, it's just going to collapse. Because you think of like the bouncy stuff that kids get for their
bounce houses.
The bounce houses, and you could pull down one of the sides, but the way that they've designed it, and I've done a ton of research on this, is they have individual channels and the poles. They have about 7 PSI of pressure, and I could not collapse it with as much strength as I could try to push it down or like squeeze it when it was inflated. I couldn't collapse a pole. And what's actually really cool is even if you do happen to puncture one of the air poles, you can puncture like, I think it's like three poles or up to three poles, and it will still maintain the overall form of it. So another thing is that's really cool about it is each of the air pillars are on their own chamber. So again, if you get a puncture for whatever reason, you can shut down or close off the different chambers, and they're just their individual tubes. So I'm super stoked about it. It's something that when I saw it the first time, I was like, oh, this might be the ticket for us to comfortably get back outside and still maintain that wheeling aspect that I really enjoy. It's just, there are some things that I'm going to have to do to the truck. So I might need a new suspension. Like a dry weight is like 3,100 pounds. So that's another reason why I want this trailer, is because it's well within the towing capacity. The GVWR is like, 4,200 or maybe it's 4,100 pounds. So fully loaded. Now you're talking like 40 gallons of water, which I don't know if I would ever travel with 40 gallons of water.
That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
But the like baby, you'll use it.
Yeah, really showers and all that. So it's just, it comes with an ARB fridge. So I made a joke earlier with Jeff. I said, when we pull up to the campsite, we're going to have a competition on who can bring the most fridges to the campground. So, it's going to be, it's just for our current situation, I think it's going to be the best option. It's well made, well put together. We know it can hold up to the rigors of off-road. And I'm really excited to use this as kind of the launch pad for more westward trips. Because like you said, LJ, I could tow this all the way out to Colorado and Moab. And I'm actually, if we're going to do cruises on the Rockies, I am anticipating bringing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because like if we're base camping and we're just going to be hitting like all the different passes and everything, it's like perfectly set up for that. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's a couple spots around Silverton that I know that we've been to that you would totally be able to pull that to and have your setup there be just fine.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm super stoked. It's like I said, it's not a new Tundra or a new house, but it's definitely a big purchase, and
all kind of hit cool big purchases. You know, you got a trailer, I got a truck, Jeff got a house. Like it's all
it's kind of crazy actually how that happened, but yeah, but, it's
the next evolution of Bankrupt Overland is underway. Jeff, what are you doing next, Overlandy? Are you gonna? Do you have any ideas?
Man,
right now, you want to bring it up? Do you want to bring it up, or are we gonna wait?
Oh man, I don't know.
We can wait. We can wait.
So I have the space. I have the height clearance now for taller vehicles.
Taller vehicles. Taller. Like how tall? Like we talking
things.
Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. Taller things.
I mean, I got like 12, 15 foot in the barn.
You could put something big in there.
So you could put maybe even taller. You could put a full size fifth wheel in there. I bet you could put three of them in there.
Yeah, but if you're 80, you could barely make it up your damn mountain. You ain't pulling a fifth wheel with your.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Captain Obvious. one thing that is really enticing is trailer version 2 or a potential van build. I don't know. Those are the things. When we lived at our old house, the wife slightly said, "Oh, it'd be really cool to have like a Sprinter van or like a travel van where we could not necessarily go like off roading or something like that, but like, you know, how cool would it be for a road trip down to Florida and you have a van with your own bathroom and shower and, you know, stuff in it?" You know, you're going to go on the yearly, at least once a year trips, you know, where you're staying at the hotel or the resorts, but like you can cram in 2 or 3 more trips if you have somewhere to sleep and your travel expenses are lower with a family of 4. So
yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. Are such a, I mean, there's so many advantages to a van, like seriously being able to stand up from and we've talked about this extensively, is like being able to stand up from your driver's seat, go to your kitchen, make something to eat, and then go to bed all within the span of an hour and a half without having to get out. Like, there's so many advantages.
Yeah. Having like, you know, using the trailer for, you know, 2.5 years or so, almost 3 years now. The one thing that it's missing is the additional comfort. So like now I have that, you know, additional outdoor space with the awning room, you know, the CVT awning room, which, you know, extends it into winter and be able to heat it. But there's something about like being able to get out of bed, be in your boxers and cook your bacon at the same time and not go outside. So that could be a thing. Maybe I need to get a 270 awning with a wraparound. I don't know.
Man.
I got to find the perfect scenario. But
so, do you have any initial impressions on what van you're thinking of?
Oh, I have no idea. Trailer though. Since I built the trailer, I have wanted to do an independent suspension with like a coilover or an airbag with a shock. To be able to adjust height. So like the Patriot campers, Patriot campers, you have the ability, my buddy has one, you have the ability to level and adjust the side to side, which is kind of cool. Obviously that's a fancy thing, but you know, I would like to build one with better suspension so I could take it on like a more technical trails. And use it that way. But, you know, I'm restricted with the cruiser and, you know, the gearing and, you know, I have all the creature comfort. So it's kind of hard to, you know, to just throw that one away or to get rid of it when it's like, it's built out of plywood. It's lasted for 2.5 years in some pretty harsh conditions, you know. Why do I need something better when I can just use this for another 2 or 3 years and just wait till it falls apart?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And build your van.
And then build the van and just go old man style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just buy a full RV. Like, I was just sitting here listening to you guys. You guys are going to be an RV.
I will never buy an RV.
No way, dude. I can't. No, they're built like Will's Imaging, dude. They're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, maybe we'll hear more about the van build on the next time.
Hopefully you'll have the whole van built by next time, dude. You know how Jeff is.
Oh yeah, this is how his trailer started out. It's like, oh yeah,
yeah.
That was also the same time Jeff said, or no, Steve said that he'll never own a trailer because he hates backing
up. I know. I fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I still hate
Jeff. I got to go back.
I still
Do you want me to teach you how to go back up? You good?
I learned that if you put your hand at the bottom middle of the steering wheel, it makes it a lot easier to back up. It's just the way.
Yeah, because you steer it the way you want it to go.
Yeah. So, I've been trailing.
Have you been practicing? before you.
I've been trailering. I've been trailering for at least a decade with my little utility trailer. So
you just don't like it.
Trailer, but I just fucking hate it.
So that trailer, you're not even gonna know it's back there because yeah. I don't even really know my trailer's back behind me with my 80, and that thing's a dog. With that low profile, like you're gonna be like looking down, and you're like, I'm doing 80, holy crap. Like I need to slow down.
I hope not.
when do you get it, Steve?
So the delivery date is Thursday, so that would be 5/25. Nice. So I could push it up. But they have to do like a whole inspection, and they're gonna like fully detail it. Like they're gonna take care of me, which is good. So and then I already have the brake controller on order. It's coming in tomorrow, which is cool. So that's something new that I've never experienced is working a brake controller. But this one that I bought seems like it's a good option. There's you can set different levels, and then so if I'm going off road, I could flip it to a different level. If I need more braking, there's like a little boost lever so that if I hit a pothole and the trailer starts swaying, I flip this lever and it starts like putting pressure on the brakes to kind of keep it from swaying and wobbling and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of safety built into it. And that's my main focus, right? Is I know I'm going to be towing this trailer. That is probably the heaviest thing that I've ever towed so far. Well, not, it probably is. It will be the heaviest thing I've ever towed. So I'm just trying to be as safe and as cautious as possible. So, it's called the Prodigy P3 or something. I don't know. It has high reviews. It has a plug and play adapter. So that'll be nice. Cause the Lexus already has a 7-pin connector. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be good.
Well, I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll definitely be towing it around and helm. It might make it up.
So you guys got to bring it over to my house and we're going to camp out. Well, you can sleep in the house, but you can bring it to the house.
Or overlanding.
I got to sleep. Just like Overland Expo, right? No one actually camps there. They just stay in the hotels, as Will says. So bring your trailer, tow it all the way out here.
Yeah.
And then you can sleep in the guest bedrooms.
Sounds good. I'll run out to the trailer to get my beer from the fridge just to.
There you go.
Of course.
Well, boys, this is fun. Glad we got back on the horn.
Yes. Definitely. It was a ton of fun. I'm glad Jeff was back. So.